Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. As an environmental scientist, a few things affect my thoughts about the future of our American society. For those of you who live in a quiet town, until, you know, fall is here when the brigade of powered leaf blowers team up with four or five men, and yes, they may make a property clean in a jiffy, but cause a tremendous amount of noise pollution. I was taking my dad to the doctor's the other day, and we were driving through this really beautiful shore town. This band of landscapers actually, no, think about this. We're driving along, windows are up, and they actually drowned out our conversation while we're going down there. And I sort of reminisced with Dad. We're driving, and I said, Dad, because he knows as an undergrad, you see, I really mean this. I say that I've never worked a day in my life because every job I've ever worked, I've just absolutely loved. And I was working for a pretty big-time landscaper back when in college. And this is before backpack blowers. And we actually, I was working for this guy who did a bunch of mansions. And we did all of their lawns and all their leagues with these huge bamboo rakes. I mean, I raked 2 and 3 acre lawns all the time. Yeah, so what a great, I mean it, what a great workout. Got, think about this. I got paid for working out, number one. And hey, does it cost a little bit more because there's more manpower involved? Yeah, well, I'm going to let you know that. Is that my pet peeve or a concern? Well, I'm not really sure. I really am sure, I guess so. Well, I'm now going to discuss urban sprawl and offer a means of making this sprawl much greener. And that's the important thing is, hey, some of these things that are happening in our society, can we change them? And we're going to discuss that. And if we can't, well, then how do we offset what's going on? To me, what's happening to our natural surroundings and farmlands is alarming. So let's define urban sprawl. It is defined as the uncontrolled expansion of urban areas. We have now lost control for financial gain, and we've allowed this, like the mass building of conglomerates of homes anywhere. So it's not just in an urban area. So let me give you an example. Currently near where my parents live, there's a new 55 and over community being built. To do so, the builders cut down a forested area approximately 100 acres. They've wiped out the habitats of numerous plants and animals. Added into this calculation, we must figure out, and this is, see, here's the deal. Something like this community is getting built, and you see it, and sometimes you're alarming, going, wow, I don't want to see it. Well, we have to add into that, there's so many more things. What about the extra power that must be supplied to this area? Does it overtax the power grid? How about the daily amount of water this new community will need? Well, hey, if you live in that area, well, this is something that needs to be addressed. Can the local reservoir accommodate this need? What about the new amount of raw sewage that will be made each day by these homes? So, I give you these facts, and I often say this. Am I an alarmist, or am I a realist? See, I want to give you an example so you'd have to understand about where this is coming from. When I was teaching, the building I was in, older building, beautiful old building, and they're going to put a major new renovation on it. Well, as they're building it, without planning, see, that was a key word, as they put it together, power kept going out. Power, because they didn't plan that they needed that much power for that area. They had to go find another power grid and rip up street after street to get the power down to the building to accommodate the reservations. So do we plan long term? Now, there was a short time when I was telling you I was driving my dad, you know, from the doctor's. Yeah, older gentleman, and I say this to my dad, and I mean it. It's like, if the world's worst thing is his knees aren't so good, and he's an older gentleman, I said, then life is pretty good if that's your only ailment. So anyway, I'm taking him from the knee doctors. We're driving through another shore town, and I'm going to tell you that this is a beautiful shore town, has a little boardwalk, some great restaurants. Hey, we've gone out as a family to some of these restaurants, many of the big, we have a huge family, and you're literally sitting there having dinner, looking at the ocean. Well, this community has decided to build, and I'm going to call them skyscrapers. No, they're not New York City size skyscrapers, but you go from a community that's got like one family homes and maybe two families, but it's one family homes. Well, these skyscrapers, well, they're going to block out the ocean view for many of these people that have had it for years, number one. And then number two, let's talk about this. Where is all the extra water? And these are being built as, you know, some of it's office space below, but I'm saying hundreds upon hundreds of new homes. Well, where's the water going to be coming from? Where's this extra sewage that's generated on a daily basis, something to address? Where's the power going to come from for these? Well, see, there's things that we need to just address. So that's in, we'll call it in a town. But now let's get out to the countryside. Growing up, two of my favorite people were my Aunt Julia and Uncle Al. Well, they live near me, and they moved out to the farmland eventually, you know. And they were just like, they were in love because my Uncle Al, a horseman from, you know, growing up, they just loved the farmland and all that. And my cousin Donnie B., myself, Joey B., and my cousin Jimmy Toots, we were cousins, but we were best friends. And we fished every waking part of the state. And Donnie B., because Jimmy Toots lived around the corner from Uncle Al, that was his grandfather, who he called Pop. And, well, Donnie B. and I, during college, we'd go out there and we'd stay on their property. We'd sleep there. We'd get up. We'd fish it hard. We'd come back, have dinner with them, sleep there, fish it hard. And I do remember one day, because again, Donnie B. and I, morning people, Toots, morning guy. My Uncle Al, he was the ultimate morning guy. So, I mean, I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, come downstairs, and he's got breakfast ready for us. Like literally, because he's the morning guy as well. Breakfast is ready, and there's no butter on my toast. And I say, Uncle Al, what is this? You're making me breakfast. Where's the butter? And he said, and he had this like really deep like voice. He goes, I'll be damned if I butter your toast. I'll make your eggs every morning, but I'll be damned if I butter your toast. He said it just in a fun, loving way. Well, anyway, years had gone on or passing, and my Aunt Julia had passed away. So now it was time to go out to the countryside for her funeral. And we were making a trek from the funeral home to the church and from the church to where she would be buried. And we were going to be passing one of my favorite rivers. I grew up fishing. As we're going along this trek, my eyes just open up and there are townhouses built alongside of one side, literally right up against the river. And, you know, sadness for Aunt Julia. And then there was this also sadness because an area that I just value, like, you know, which was part of me, you know, my more than childhood, because it went into my college years as well, and actually beyond that. And now all of a sudden these townhouses were there. Has anyone thought about, like, what that was going to do? And again, I can get into the water and the sewage and the power and all that, but what it's going to do to that landscape that's there? Now, those riverbanks were gone forever. So no longer urban sprawl, but we sprawl everywhere, and it's a permanent cost, and in this case, to valued farmland. A place where I currently fly fish over the past few years, local farms, they're broken into like 1-acre lots and they've built McMansions on them. And hey, I know people need to live somewhere, but that valued farmland, once again, is gone forever. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Well, I'm going to discuss one more example of sprawl, and then I'm going to continue and also explain to you, well, then how can we make these a greener footprint? Well, I grew up near Giant Stadium. I actually played at Giant Stadium. It is now gone. I also played at Veterans Stadium. It is now gone, as is many of the stadiums across America. Well, you see, taxpayers paid for much of Giant Stadium, and the owner said that they would pay for part of it. Well, then guess what? They decided that, and I'm telling you right now, and I had been to many a game in the stadium, all different sporting events, and I'm going to let you know that there was not a bad seat in the house at all, and there was nothing wrong with the stadium. But hey, because we're going to knock it down and build a new one, well, the Jets and Giants decided, well, we'll pay for the new stadium, not a cost to taxpayers at all. Well, let's figure out what it meant to not, you know, for taxpayers to not have to pay at all. Well, for them to build that stadium, the new, it's called the MetLife Stadium, to build it, well, then guess what? The state forgave the Giants still owed $100 million. Well, who's going to recover that? That's obviously taxpayers. And to build the new stadium that they were saying is going to cost $1 billion, and they were going to pay for it, the state said, well, we'll build. I'm babbling because I'm sort of agitated, good word. And they said, we'll pay for the infrastructure. And the infrastructure means getting the power under the roads, all that, the water. Well, guess what? They said, well, it cost the taxpayers $50 million. So for the free stadium, it cost us $50 million for that. And the overrun was to about $75 million. So the new free stadium cost taxpayers $150 million. So is free really free? And that's something we need to know. And hey, we continue to knock down stadiums and arenas and build new ones like it's commonplace practice all across America. So now I've given you a little pet peeve stuff, and I've given you, like, you know, what the real deal of what's going on. And, you know, maybe your eyes are open. My eyes are definitely open. So how can we make these places greener? You go, wait. But you're talking about sprawl and making it greener? Well, I'm going to let you know that dollars and cents, we're going to have to do a little battling, and I'll get into that in a few seconds. But, you know, I'm sure in my heart, we're not going to stop what's considered by some progress. And we're going to battle it, and we're going to talk about it. But so let's discuss it this way. Can every new community be required to put solar roofs or panels on every building? In Europe, they have had for years interlocking tiles for roofs that are solar. So why not the U.S.? So go back to that 55 and over community that's being built. So what happens if every single home had these tiles on the roof and they were able to support the power they needed for their homes? Well, guess what? Then it's not drawing extra power. Again, you think about power needs to be generated. We mostly have coal plants. Do we have some problems with fission and fusion as far as nuclear is concerned? Yeah. So what happens if every stadium had to develop a solar field to power their stadium at the owner's cost 100%? Well, in areas that have local winds that are constant, why not incorporate windmills into the area? You see, go back to that 55 and over community, and it's near the shore, and shore is because of sea breezes and land breezes, and I happen to know quite a bit about these things because I used to teach a geology class and a meteorology class. I can get into the whole deal because I'm excited about it. So you can put up windmills there, but on farmlands where they're open lands and you're building McMansions, well, why not require windmills? If you're going to build those townhouses near in farmland and it's an open area and there's a constant breeze, why not incorporate windmills? Why not also incorporate the tiles on the roofs that are solar? So you see, we can do this. Now, on almost every island, rainwater comes from roofs. They collect it as potable water. So why can't these major developments do the same thing? Geothermal grids can control temperatures in buildings in so many areas of the country. So why not utilize the earth, what it can give us, what nature can give us, what the sun can give us? Well, can we change the landscape literally? Well, let's talk about how we do that. It is your voices. It is yours and mine. It is our thoughts. You're caring about tomorrow. And of course, always, because we live in a democracy, it is your vote as well. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybe.tv. That's joeybe.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.